Now, the epistle for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Brethren, see how you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, become not unwise, but understanding what is the will of God. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is luxury, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God and the Father, being subject one to another in the fear of Christ. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 4th chapter. At that time there was a certain ruler whose son was sick at Capernaum. He, having heard that Jesus was come from Judea into Galilee, went to him and prayed him to come down and heal his son, for he was on the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you believe not." The ruler saith to him, "Lord, come down before my son die." Jesus saith to him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." The man believed the word which Jesus said to him and went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him, and they brought word saying that his son lived. He asked therefore of them the hour wherein he grew better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him." The father therefore knew that it was at the same hour that Jesus said to him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed and his whole house. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Brethren, see how you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the early 16th century, King Henry VIII was trying to get an annulment from his marriage with Queen Catherine of Aragon, so that he could marry Anne Boleyn. But the Pope would not grant the annulment of a valid marriage. And so it was in the year 1534 that the English Parliament decreed the Act of Supremacy. By this act, King Henry VIII appointed himself the supreme head of the Church of England. Therefore, many Catholics were put in a very difficult position. They were subject and loyal to their king, but they knew he had no authority to sever himself from the true church or the pope, or to rule over the church himself. To say the least, people were stressed and afraid. They didn't know what to do. There could be very serious consequences, though, if they didn't just go along with it. One Catholic put in this predicament was Sir Thomas More. Thomas More was a devout Catholic and a very brilliant man. He became a lawyer at 24, later a judge, and about the age 50, he became the Lord High Chancellor under King Henry VIII. As Lord Chancellor, he was the highest ranking minister among what's called the greater officers, nominally outranking the prime minister. But it was on account of his honesty and well-known sincerity that he was Henry's most trusted advisor and even a friend. Thomas More was also known for his love and devotion for the Holy Mass. He was thus a pious Catholic and a devoted subject of the king. But on account of the king's schismatic actions, Thomas More refused to attend the coronation of Anne Boleyn as the Queen of England. And coincidentally, shortly thereafter, he was accused and charged with bribery. A whole case was made to try to indict him, but the charges had to be dismissed for lack of any evidence. At length, the oath of supremacy was put to him, by which he was to swear that he recognized the king as the supreme head of the church. The king and many others put great pressure on him. Thomas More's own family and friends put pressure on him just to take the oath, but believe differently in your heart, they said. His best friend, the Duke of Norfolk, pleaded with him to take the oath for the sake of friendship and fellowship. To which St. Thomas More responded, "And when we die, and you are sent to heaven for following your conscience, and I am sent to hell for not doing mine, will you then come with me to hell for fellowship's sake?" He was almost echoing the words of our Lord, saying, "For what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" After refusing to take the oath of supremacy, Sir Thomas More was convicted of treason and sentenced to death. On the scaffold before his execution, St. Thomas More's last words, he said, "I die the king's good servant and God's first." In 2021, there was a statistic published concerning the effects of peer pressure, which said that in 5 years, drug use among teenagers had a startling increase traced back to peer pressure. It said between 2016 and 2020, among 8th grade students, usually between the ages of 13 and 14, drug use increased by 61%. Another statistic said 85% of high school students admitted being pressured into doing something wrong or changing their behavior because of peer pressure. There were other very sad statistics, which I will not quote, that show millions of persons are pressured to commit sin and commit shameful acts, all because of peer pressure. Perhaps you have seen, my dear faithful, a number of billboards, commercials, or public service announcements concerning this pressure, usually addressed to high schoolers and youth. However, teenagers are not the only ones subject to peer pressure. In every single one of us, there's a certain measure of pressure to fit in or look good in the eyes of others. Thus, I thought it would be useful to know how peer pressure works. Peer pressure, simply, is the direct or indirect influence from others. The reason why peer pressure affects us and what is actually happening is that most people like the security of fitting in, being one of the crowd. And so peer pressure will act on our pride and on our passions of fear, aversion, and desire. And though it may not change all of our decisions in life, it may very well sway our thoughts and mindset on smaller things at least, gradually over time. And it may constrain someone to sin or even commit a crime. How often today are people constrained to go along in order to get along, to accept immorality, even unnatural immorality, as if it were the norm or a good thing? But our Savior forewarned us, saying that the world would hate us He didn't say that we need to fit in with the world in order to go to heaven, or to fit in with the modern agendas. He never said to water down your principles or character and hide your faith. But he told us to be the light of the world. And if you are not with me, you are against me. Let not peer pressure then pressure you into evil. What then will help us against this influence? The virtue that will help disregard and brush away peer pressure is the virtue of prudence. Prudence is one of the cardinal virtues. And according to St. Thomas Aquinas, prudence is the virtue which points out what to do and what not to do, to direct all our thoughts and actions according to God's will. That is, this virtue guides all our actions and passions by directing the other moral virtues to what is good according to reason. Prudence then strengthens us to do the right thing, regardless of what others think, say, or do. For example, if an impure story is being told, or if something immoral pops up on media, prudence tells us to turn away right away, to pay no attention, and even to walk away if possible. Prudence then is the virtue that will safeguard us from any pressure from others or from the world, and it will make sure we direct all our thoughts, words, and actions to reaching heaven. We need prudence on a daily basis just to help us make decisions, and we need to increase in prudence, especially in light of the corrupt world in which we live and the confusion that reigns supreme. We need prudence, whether in regard to our religion, our family, and raising our family, or even just living good Catholic lives. Let us pray then to increase in prudence and to dismiss any pressure leading to evil. In today's epistle, St. Paul exposes the crisis and he tells us what to do. He says, "Brethren, see that you walk circumspectly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." The days are evil in that what society today has deemed as acceptable and good might not be so. Therefore, to live a good Catholic life today, we ought to walk circumspectly and as wise. That is, with judgment and with prudence, not letting peer pressure influence or puppet us into evil. Let us then, my dear faithful, disregard that influence of peer pressure. And positively, let us first pray for prudence from the Father of Light and strive to increase in this excellent virtue by refraining from acting through passion, by considering the pros and the cons of our actions, and considering every event in light of eternity. And finally, strive to do what is right for your soul, for your eternal welfare, because all else matters little or nothing. St. Thomas More knew what he had to do, even in the face of great pressure. Even with pressure from friends, the king, all the advisors, and the worries of his own family's welfare, he knew he had to act with prudence and according to how God wants him to. Even to his best friend, Thomas More said that even for fellowship's sake, it is not worth to go against God's will. Even with all the pressure in the world, it is not worth going to hell. As a good Catholic, he was a good servant of the king, but God's first. And right now, my dear faithful, right now, St. Thomas More is being rewarded for his prudence, his constancy, and virtue. In fact, every man who has gone before us, every person who has ever lived, is being rewarded or punished according to how they lived their lives. Let us then, my dear faithful, dispel peer pressure, increase in prudence, and strive to do the will of God. For our Lord promised, "Everyone, therefore, that shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." Let us strive to do the will of God before all things. Number one on our to-do list should always be to do God's will. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.